today, we're all going on a jolly summer holiday. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctly Australian and New Zealand flavour. Joined again by Joe Wilkes from New Zealand. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Martin. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I think you should be striking up the tune, really, but we probably shouldn't. Otherwise, we might get a copyright strike.
Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble with Officer Cliff Richard. That wouldn't be good.
But rather interesting conversation today, and some very worrying data coming out about mortgage repayment holidays, or more precisely, those who aren't taking mortgage repayment holidays.
Yeah, there's information both fronts, really, which is a bit shocking, actually, when you actually read into the detail of it. It's not a surprise that the RBNZ have extended the original six-month deferral or switching of mortgages into a 12-month window, and that'll see us over the summer holiday period. So, there's some quite interesting reporting now in terms of the amount of debt that is just being reclassified either as deferred or restructured. And particularly with respect to, our two major lending banks, ANZ and Westpac, some of the numbers that they're reporting are quite phenomenal. We're delaying something or delaying a headache for later. And I don't think people really understand how, you know, they've been touted in the press as mortgage holidays. And the concept of the holiday is that you go away and you have a good time and you don't worry about things. But what the reporters have been largely neglectful of is that these loans that are being deferred, the interest is accruing, the volume of debt is rising. And if the market doesn't get people out of it, i.e. through exponentially rising prices, people are going to find their equity positions dwindling when they come off these terms. So encouraging thing on one end is that the original offer of the mortgage holidays, there was a massive spike in people who took it back in March and April this year. And those numbers have been sort of reducing in terms of how many people are week on week taking on these holidays. But at the same point, it's big numbers. And if you look at percentage of mortgage books now, it's quite concerning. Westpac have reported this week that 18,000 of their customers, 180,000 odd customers, 18,000, so pretty much 10% of their customers have now applied for either a deferred payment or a switch of payment terms. It's 83%, I think, the total of total households who are owner occupied. So this stress is featuring in the owner occupied sector of the market. And you cleverly brought up the other day that many of these people will be doing it to keep their businesses going as well. So where we go to on this, difficult. ANZ have reported basically a trebling of the number of loans that have been deferred and are now what they call impaired. And that's just for the first three quarters of this year. So three times bigger in just three quarters of the financial year compared to the 2019 financial year. So, and I was shocked when I read it, but the $27 billion worth of loan deferrals and adjustments on ANZ books actually represents about 20% of all their borrowers. So they've got a loan book of $136 billion, and that $27 billion is pretty much 20%. So, fuck, we're building up a headache.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I've had a couple of very well-qualified senior analysts in the sector here saying this interest repayment holiday, mortgage repayment holiday, is probably one of the biggest policy errors that's ever been made, insofar that what it's doing is kicking the problem out. It's giving people a bit of a false sense of security. It's adding more debt to the balance of individual mortgages. Of course, it increases the bank's exposure even more. But what it does is actually stops people thinking about the critical issues, which is, well, what happens if the incomes which are compressed at the moment or gone away don't come back? And Ross McEwan, who's the CEO of NAB here in Australia, last Friday, in fact, said, look, there are going to be some people whose the best option would be to wake up and understand they've got an issue and decide to sell sooner rather than later, simply because his experience from when he was at the Royal Bank of Scotland a decade plus ago was these things have a habit of, you know, getting out of hand. And frankly, we're trying, I think, at the moment just to sort of hide a lot of what's really going on. In Australia, of course, APRA has basically redefined loans that are actually on repayment holiday as not in any way out of order, which means that the delinquency rates, which are being reported here, are a lot lower than they would otherwise. But even so, Westpac's delinquency rate in Australia shot up, not just in Western Australia, but across every state for mortgages. And we, you know, roughly rule of thumb is that we've got around 10 to 12% of the mortgage book in Australia that's now got a mortgage repayment holiday. There's a few that have come back. But worryingly, 19% in some cases, 19% of the SME sector are actually being postponed. And they're the ones that I'm, you know, as I said the other day, as concerned about as ever, because my other analysis, I'm just doing some work at the moment, suggests that a considerable portion of those SMEs don't expect to be back in 6 months. You know, they don't expect to be around in 6 months. So we've got a real big sleeping problem here.
Yeah, well, there's been some work done by Centrica, and they've actually broken it down by region. And you can see the holiday hotspots. And you've got to remember that, you know, over the next 6 months, normally New Zealand would expect to have close to 2 million tourists come through the country. And with recent lockdowns and various other things going on, are we going to see anywhere near those sorts of numbers? I can't see us getting 20% of those numbers. But they've broken it down by the regions, and some of these numbers are quite phenomenal. So Centrix receives data from all the major banks on a monthly basis, and if you look at the holiday hotspots, so Queenstown, there are 11.9% of mortgages in Queenstown that are now on payment deferral terms. 8.9% of mortgages in Rotorua, which you know, another holiday hotspot south of Auckland, and it's often one of the first stops that the tourists make on the way down from Auckland, where they typically arrive. Away from those two top hotspots, you've got Taupo, which is another holiday area. 8.4% of mortgages that are being deferred. Whangarei, 8.7%, and Tauranga over in the Bay of Plenty, which is. This was an interesting one for me because Tauranga is, you know, it is a holiday area, but it's also an area where people do go to retire, and that's 7.6% of mortgages there. The major cities less impacted thus far: Wellington, 3.8% of mortgages are on payment deferral terms, but again, half of Wellington's employment is government, and they will be well cushioned in terms of the numbers there. Auckland, Christchurch, a bit more worrying: 6.8% of mortgages in Auckland, 6.3% of mortgages in Christchurch. So, when you look at that, that's quite a lot. Well, you touched on it. It's those that haven't actually gone and sought help as well, and this is where Centrica's the you know, data is quite concerning. It's 13,500 mortgages currently in arrears, where there's been no application for deferral. So these people have the opportunity to defer, but haven't. And that, for me, is really around the financial literacy of you know, borrowers not actually understanding when they're in trouble. And this is the old, you know, the ostrich approach to ostrich approach to arming the shit. So yeah, we've got things building, and the, you know, the Reserve Bank have gone out there and, you know, they've extended it. It's been reported in places like the CoreLogic report. They've gone out and they've mentioned this, but haven't gone into probably the detail that we have. Not seen on the news though, and I think there'll be a lot of people who are just, you know, really twiddling their thumbs and completely oblivious to the challenges that are building up for them.
Yes, and of course, what tends to happen, as typically in a crisis, it doesn't hit immediately, right? I mean, if you look in the US or indeed in the UK through the global financial crisis, the peak of mortgage defaults happened not 6 months after the global financial crisis. It was 2 or 3 years, because effectively these things just accumulate and build up and build up. It may be faster this time, but I suspect that we're not going to see the real fallout from loss of jobs and low incomes for quite a long time. One reason why I've always believed that the global financial crisis didn't lead to a V-shaped recovery, and I don't think this will now here in New Zealand or Australia lead to a V-shaped recovery. You know, it's clear that it's going to take a long, long time to claw back up to anything close to where we were. And in fact, in some industries, where, you know, I've got in my data, I've got 60% of businesses saying they probably will survive, so 40% saying they're unlikely to survive, right? And if you start looking then across the states, you discover that, well, Victoria, of course, is a real hotspot because we've locked down again. And if, then if you look at some of the industries, well, obviously retail's really up against it. So retail is right down the bottom of the scale, as is some of the tourist and accommodation categories as well. Whereas things like you know, healthcare is much more bullish about what's going on. And but the real estate sector, about 30% of people in real estate are saying they probably won't be around in 6 months. So that's all sort of showing that this is a long, slow burn rather than actually a kaboom.
Yeah, well, this will cushion things for longer. It cushioned things through the election. So we've got the election has been pushed back, as we predicted. So that's been pushed back a month. My experience in the UK when we were looking at people who'd lost jobs, and it was largely financial-based job losses in the GFC, was that the banks were quite lenient where they felt that there was plenty of equity for mortgage holidays to be extended for, you know, a year. People were switched over to interest only. They were given quite a lot of flexibility because the perception was that worst comes to the worst, if the bank did need to sell, they still could and recover their loan. The things where they were probably a little bit quicker to press the button is where they thought, okay, well, actually, there isn't a lot of equity in this, and if we leave it longer, there might be less, and we might not recover. So I'm not sure how this will play out over here. I think that the circumstances this time around are very, very different, and there's already, you know, there is far quicker appetite for the extended pretend policies. But you look at how the banks react to, say, for example, borrowers who have lost their jobs in their 50s. Will they get the same leeway to go and extend mortgage terms into, you know, 20 years from 15 years? That wasn't uncommon. So last time round, people who were, you know, maybe on a 15 years left of the mortgage to pay, they were given extended terms to reduce the payment or monthly payments. Now, will that happen again? Are we going to see mortgages extended? So, you know, you think you've got 10 years, but you're in, you know, you need some leeway, and all of a sudden it's a 20-year term, or a 25-year term, or a 30-year term. We've got so many mortgages that are already on 30-year terms to begin with. So, the backdrop's unusual. House sales reported by REINZ July were 25% up on the July figures for 2019. So the volume of transactions is higher. The debt-to-income multiples, particularly in the first-time buyer sector, is higher than it's ever been. And yet we've got all this in the background where there are obviously pockets of the market, and some of these are not insignificant pockets when you look at the numbers for, you know, Queenstown, Rotorua is a big market, Taupo, and Tauranga, which is essentially our fifth biggest city. So these are not insignificant levels of stress building. We'll just see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we shall continue to watch, and we'll continue to report. Certainly, I've had some anecdotal data from people who've been contacted by their bank when they're on repayment deferrals, and they're starting to get quite heavy hints that, you know, well, maybe you should consider putting your property on the market and, you know, and selling before prices fall. In most cases, these are relatively high loan-to-value loans. So I think we're already seeing the first signs here in Australia of the banks beginning to apply some pressure. So I think we're going to see more of that. Tell you what, Joe, why don't you come on the live show on Tuesday and we can perhaps explore this a bit further with our audience and see what our audience thinks, and also see what stories we can discuss in real time. I think that'll be a good thing to do.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to do that. I think the thing for me, and this is something that, you know, we've got quite an educated following now at DFA, and a lot of you guys who are watching this show, you're aware of the situation, and you're supporting Martin and wanting to be made aware of what's going on. Now, you guys are in a good spot because you're getting some education, but you'll have probably family members and friends and relatives who may or may not be in the situation that they're prepared to talk about it. Now, my experiences in the UK were that a lot of the time when we were dealing with these issues during the financial crisis was that as a real estate agent, I was almost a counsellor to husbands and wives who basically they just shut up shop. They had gone into a shell, struggle to talk about it to people. And then, you know, as an agent, I became a counsellor in many circumstances, and just trying to engineer ways for them to change their situations. Sometimes it was downsizing the mortgage, you know, buying a small house and making a lifestyle decision that, you know, on the face of it is not a nice thing to do, because you feel that you're going backwards when you downsize in your 40s or 50s. But it was the best thing for them to be doing. Now, the conversation doesn't often happen, and this is the thing, and families in particular, you should, you know, keep an eye on your friends, keep an eye on people who have lost jobs, and just make sure that they're okay.
Yeah, great advice, Joe. And as we sometimes say with Tony Licantro, if you're going to panic early. Appreciate your time today. We'll catch up next Tuesday, 8 p.m. Sydney time, and look forward to the live stream then, and we'll keep on tracking the data meantime.
Sounds good, Martin. Take care, mate.
Cheers.